to explore strange new worlds, to seek out new life forms and new civilizations, to boldly go where no man has gone before.
It's a two-fisted, quick-triggered marksman who shoots from the hip and never misses.
Okay, hello again. This is Buck Benny speaking. I'm with my friend Bob, my friend Jim, my friend Matt. We are here to talk Star Trek. And for our new episode of Star Trek Time, we are covering Discovery, Season 2, Episode 11. This episode is one that, following immediately after Burnham realized that it was her mother who was the Red Angel, and this is dealing with the ramifications of that. So let's go from there. And Bob, do you want to give us a summary or anything about of the episode, or you can just tell us about the episode, anything you want to do, Bob? Go ahead.
Summary. Yeah, so they've caught the Red Angel. It does turn out to be her mother, which was a bit of a bump for me, because even now we can tell a difference in DNA, but they kind of hand wave over that. And she's basically trying to hide the data from the sphere from the AI. The AI is trying to get it, and they decide to load it into her suit and shoot it off like way, way into the future. But then it kind of goes haywire a bit because the AI kind of fights back.
Yes.
The other thing that I did notice was somehow Ash is dead again, but somehow he still comes back from the dead. again.
Well, when you call you Ash, you're going to keep coming back from the ashes. It's all good. So
that's my like 5-second summary.
Okay. So what did you think of the episode overall? I mean, what was your take on it compared to the previous episodes we've had and things?
Yeah, I liked it. It's building up. Mm-hmm. I really liked last week. Yeah, so in this episode, the AI takes over Leland, literally takes over his body. It shoots some sort of like nanobots or something into him. And the other thing you see is that you see a whole like series of shots and flashbacks to her mother. So you see that whole side of Michael's backstory. I thought that was nice.
Yeah. Yeah. It starts off that way, essentially. I mean, we almost immediately get a flashback to when her parents are died and the aliens have landed on their the planet that they're on and are obviously going to attack them, and they're getting prepared for the attack, and they put her in a closet and say, stay here, it's going to be safe. And it's a scary thing, and you can definitely feel like what it would feel like to be that kid closed off and letting your parents do whatever they're going to do and die, apparently, to you at the time. Jim, what did you think of the episode?
Yeah, I liked it. You know, this one, when I was first watching it, I'm not sure that I actually saw this episode. I might have missed it, so I just watched it, and so it was kind of new for me.
Yeah.
Her mother turns out to be the Red Angel, or, you know, turns out to be the suit. But if you look at stuff later in the episode when they're talking to her mother, asking about, you know, why'd you appear in these places, she seems confused and lost and saying, I don't know what you're talking about. Well, I didn't appear in these places. So that was a key thing that really kind of just was thrown in there, but would probably be missed by a lot of people. But that was a key moment.
Piece to future episodes. Yes. Agreed.
Yeah. Right. The fact that she doesn't know what because the big thing is they kept talking about how the Red Angel's connected to the lights.
Right.
And it's like, I don't know what you're talking about. Yeah. I thought that was kind of a big joke. Like, oh, huh. All right. Not what they thought.
So this mystery continued to be a mystery. Yeah. Go ahead, Matt.
So one of my favorite things in the episode, I think, is just with the Georgiou character. This was my takeaway from it. It's like, I like that she's, you know, she's the evil empress from the other world. Like, she's brutal, ruthless, horrible person. But like, the fact that she's in our universe might actually end up having saved our universe, because she's the one who figures out, she kind of puts it together that control has taken over the Section 31 guy. You know, she kind of sorts that out and moves against him.
I loved
her.
This is why people listen to our podcast, because we know the names of the characters, like Section 31 guy, that a lot of people do not know. So yes, I agree. Section 31 guy getting taken over by the nano thing was awesome.
What's in ours? Leland.
Oh, Leland. Fine. If we have to get technical, I like Section 31 guy. Yes. Back to you, Matt.
Just call him S31 guy.
S31, that's his new code name.
I think his name's Darcy, I think was his. Or not Jim, one of those two.
Ariel or something.
No, she's the mermaid. So anyway, let's
Well, and the other thing I like in this episode, you get another one of those kind of Burnham's parental figures, you know, kind of meeting up, like you had with Sarek and Georgiou at one point.
Yes.
Who raised them in different universes. Now you've got her actual mom and Georgiou meeting up, talking about their daughter. And I thought it was interesting that Michael's mom kind of says, you're not as bad as you like to think you are, kind of. Exactly. Like, there's like, she's going to soften over the years to a less Terran and more, you know, prime universe, whatever they call the main.
Yeah.
You know, is there a Star Trek fan reference for the primary Star Trek timeline? I don't know.
Yes. It's called the non-Terran.
Okay.
I don't know.
The other thing that kind of was interesting was the fact that Leland can manipulate her. Like, she's more powerful than you. So,
Says Leland, he means Section 31 guy.
Just
so we're clear.
He's manipulating Georgiou by telling her, this lady's more powerful than you. And now, like, I didn't think that was going to work. I thought that was kind of shallow of Georgiou. Now I'm going to take her out because I'm not the most powerful queen in the universe.
Yeah, exactly. Hopefully that logic works. But for me, this was one of those episodes that felt like, okay, it's got a lot of ground to take us from one point, take us to another point to set up the future episodes and things. So sometimes those episodes don't work that well. This one I thought worked pretty well for that. It had some great character moments. It had a lot of good things going on. And that's always tricky to do in these kinds of episodes. Next week's episode is going to be a Pike-centric one and considered by many to be one of the best episodes of the season. So I think that's a lot to look forward to for next episode. What else we got on this one that anybody noticed or anything with Discovery so far in season two? Oh, and they have been, I just read this week that they definitely been renewed for season four. So that's kind of...
It was something that somebody said down the planet that tipped Georgiou off. And I can't remember who it was. She heard the same line
It was from the mother lady, because the S31 guy made some comment.
Yeah, about it being
being the biggest problem or whatever, and then she repeated the same thing where she was saying what control thought this was the biggest problem, and it's like almost word for word the same. So it made her realize that he was probably being controlled by control.
Well, besides this episode, after this episode, just so you know, we might go a little short today because I can tell we're winding down here. We're going to have two bonuses for you. Of course, we'll have, like we always have, kind of an interview with one of the actors at the end of this. But before that, we will play, we're going to have the connected episode that I don't know if any of these guys caught, which was on at the Super Bowl, which is the Paramount Plus storyline featuring Star Trek characters. Spock actually gets a chance to say that there's a puppet with frostbite, and as he's trying to fix the puppet's arm, saying they might have to amputate, a golfer comes and swings and takes off the arm of the character, solving the problem. And one of my favorite lines in the whole thing is the very last piece of this. They climb to the top of the mountain. They're climbing to the top of Paramount, essentially. And at the very end of it, it's like one of the character that lost his arm says, well, I gave up my arm for this, you know, for this adventure they're on. And then somebody, who's the actor? Is it Patrick Stewart? Someone says they lost their glove. Well, I lost my glove along the way, comparing it to the puppet losing his arm, which I thought. But did any of you catch any of those little commercials for Paramount Plus that were on the Super Bowl?
Yeah.
Okay. Were you semi-entertained with all the various people they had on those commercials? Or?
Not really.
Not really. Thank you, Jim. It's hardly worth your time, but yeah, I don't know. They're short.
I will say, as a Steelers fan, I enjoyed Bill Cowher doing the fake voice behind his play sheet.
Oh, that's right. That's right. The Cowher was in there, wasn't he? Yeah. And he did a great job with the little voice that he had behind it. Yeah. Little girl sort of voice. That was great. So yeah, like I say, I'll string all those together because there was, I don't know, there's quite a few of them. I think there's 5 or 6 of them. And so I'll string them together, put them on after this, and yeah, you can enjoy those as well. It's kind of the hidden episode of the Discovery shows, but it's kind of, I don't think Pike ever says anything in any of it. He just makes faces around.
It's just all reaction shots.
Yes, yes. But of course, at least Spock gets something to say. And then at one point, somehow, miraculously in the middle of it, Burnham pops up for one of them and then is gone for the rest of them. I don't know why she all of a sudden popped in, but hey.
Well, and you know what I did find in those commercials is, you know, while it was the actors and the parts and stuff, I don't know if it was the makeup or the lighting or whatever, but they almost looked different than they do in the episodes, you know. Yes. So to me, you know, Burnham didn't, there's something off about Burnham. There's something off about Spock, something off about Pike. Where it was, I don't know.
Well, especially Burnham added yet another hairstyle that we haven't seen before, but her hairstyle changes almost every season. So.
Yeah. It just, the characters, something about their look or something just didn't look quite right. I don't know what it was.
Well, obviously these people weren't all together anyway, so they're all filmed separately. So that kind of gave it a weird look anyway to have all these people superimposed on each other in the scenes. But yeah, kind of fun. So we will present that, like I say, because it's nice. They're all on YouTube at least, but they don't have them in an easy format to follow. It's just, so you know, if you are trying to catch them on YouTube, if you look, it'll say the elevation that they are. And so you go with the lowest elevation first and work your way up the mountain. And then it'll present them in the right order. Otherwise, you're going to do them in a random order. And my goodness, I wouldn't want that to not make any sense for you. Anything else about this episode before we let them experience all the other cool stuff we have attached to this? All good? Well, I'm enjoying Discovery. Like I say, I'm looking forward to season 4 now that Matt and Jim and I have seen season 3. Matt, where are you? You said season 2 you stopped watching for a while, but now it's getting better for you. Have you watched the rest of season 2, or are you on the episode we're on? Matt, are you there? Matt,
hello. I'm back.
So what episode are you on? Did you finish season 2 yet, or are you still right where we're at, or what's going on with you?
I'm trying to stay, because I found when I was letting myself get really far ahead that I was having to go back and skim through at the very least the episode again before we could talk about it, because I forget what was in what episodes.
So. I know. And then when you are not in top form and remembering what's going on in the episode, it stands out so much because the three of us are also on top of everything.
S31 guy. Yep.
Section 31 guy is like, yeah. Uh-huh. This, I'm going to have to title this the Section 31 guy episode. And anyway. Bob, and you're staying, you're white with us, right? Are you a little ahead or where are you at with watching?
No, I'm same as Matt. I've been staying with the episode because same thing we're seeing with our other thing with WandaVision. Once you get ahead, you start fuzzing the line between one and the other.
Yeah.
One stops. So I've been watching them in week order.
And then you end up talking about 1988 internet in a completely inappropriate setting. Yes,
that's exactly right.
Like this.
Yes, like this. Yeah. Well, it's going to be interesting to see after next week what you guys think. It's a chance to see our captain do a little more acting than we've seen. And perhaps I would venture maybe getting into a little bit of the Captain Kirk overacting in some parts of it, but maybe not. I don't know. It'll be interesting to see what you guys think about that. So a really interesting episode coming up next week. I can't wait for it. So anyway, thanks for joining us this week, everybody. Enjoy the Paramount commercials and then enjoy an interview with some of the characters about today's episode and things. So and we'll see you next time. Thanks so much.
On Paramount Mountain, an extraordinary expedition begins. Heroes and truth seekers. Leaders and intellects. World travelers. World champions. And also, Snooki of the Jersey Shore.
This sucks. I'm too hungover for this.
On Paramount Mountain, a leader emerges.
Okay, according to my map, we can climb this together!
Whoa, hold on. Who made you the leader? Just because you have a talking map? I got a talking clipboard. Hey, everybody. I'm a talking clipboard. Coach Collar's the best. We should follow him. Woohoo! Fine, let's follow the talking map.
Vamanoi!
On a mountain of entertainment, our heroes are experiencing sheer terror.
Survive this mountain? Find out what happens next. That's right, it's a literal cliffhanger. Ah!
On Paramount Mountain, conditions are taking a turn.
My arm!
How bad is it?
It's not good. I'm afraid it's puppet frostbite. We're gonna have to amputate.
Wait, let's talk about this.
Boy, did he get a hold of that one.
He did, but it seems like he hooked it.
Should've used the 5-Eye.
On Paramount Mountain, our heroes continue on step by careful step.
We're too heavy! There's a giant crack in the ice!
She said crack. Crack. Giant crack.
On Paramount Mountain, our heroes continue on step by careful step.
We need to shed weight!
You should probably take your shirt off.
I'll take my shirt off. If it helps.
I'm good with that, actually.
We need to lose more!
Dangle! We're gonna have to cut you.
I get it. Was it the shirt thing?
It was, obviously.
Yep.
Tribe has spoken.
And so our heroes reach the summit of Paramount Mountain, where they are greeted by a very handsome man in a tuxedo.
Patrick Stewart.
Yes, it was I who summoned you all here.
But why?
Don't you see? This is a metaphor for how we're all streaming on Paramount Plus now.
Bingo, genius.
Sorry, we climbed all the way up this mountain for a metaphor.
I'm going home.
Oh, Nora, you are home. We live here now, on Mount Paramount. Isn't it glorious?
What are we supposed to do up here?
We dance?
Sure.
Let's make it weirder.
Hey, Disco fans. Welcome to The Ready Room, our weekly discussion about all things Star Trek Discovery. I'm your host, Naomi Kyle, and today we're talking about Season 2, Episode 11, with Section 31's Ash Tyler himself, Shahzad Latif. Now, of course, we always get into spoilers, so if you haven't watched Episode 11, be sure to catch up on it right now, and then come right back for the juicy details. But yes, thank you so much for joining us, Shahzad.
Thank you. It's good to be here.
It's so lovely to have you and to finally talk about your part in Season 2.
Yep.
But, you know, Season 1, you were primarily on Discovery on the ship, and now you're on Section 31's ship, which is a little different, I'm assuming, set-wise.
Yes.
So what's that like? How does it differ?
I think it's a way better set in general anyway.
Really?
I think we've got two floors, so Discovery is just like a bungalow.
Right.
So I think
so you've leveled
up. Yeah, it's leveled up. It's a bit more, you can, you know, run up and down the stairs.
Yeah.
You know, acting-wise, it's easier for the DOPs. They, you know, it's a bit
they can hide in
them.
Little...
Yeah, they just do crane shots. It's another crane shot, you know, for Discovery. So this is a bit more interesting for them. But no, but in acting-wise, it actually is really good because you can, it's nice to put down those sort of like mental markers and sort of like imagination markers when you see where your workplace is. You
mm-hmm.
can go, right, this is his actual workspace, this is where he worked. And it's, for the actor, it's nice to see these amazing sets because it just makes everything a bit easier.
Yeah, it makes it more realistic,
easier
to get into character. So, you know, this episode we do see that Tyler has kind of agreed to commit espionage against Discovery in some way. So what does that say about Tyler's character, you know, the fact that he agrees to do that, his loyalty to Section 31, and what does that mean, given that it's like kind of going against your personal beliefs?
I think, like he says before, he doesn't really, in episode 10, I think it is, he says he doesn't agree with their tactics, but
he
believes in the cause. And I think that's the main point, that he's trying to do the things for the greater good.
Mm-hmm.
He's trying, you know, not to hurt people. And if they have to do something maybe a bit dodgy, it's sort of worth it, because it's for the greater good, I think.
Yeah, so you think that his motivation is just primarily like, I'm just going to do what's right, and
he doesn't want to be the bad guy again, you know, he's a bad guy again, but, you know,
it's
probably worth it in the long run. He thinks, he can't believe that it's not going to be worth it. He has to believe, look, this is the right thing to do, because otherwise it'll just be a mess.
Yeah, because he's always kind of running into that, right?
Yeah,
have a hard time trusting him, so it's like, I kind of just have to follow this and see what happens.
Mm.
You and Michelle Yeoh have a lot more scenes this season, which is really cool to see your guys' dynamic. What's it like building rapport with her, both on and off screen?
I was a big, huge martial arts fan growing up anyway, so, I mean, to be working with someone who's worked with Jackie Chan and Brandon Lee and all these people, it's just like, you know, that's
a legend.
Sort of, a legend. It's a childhood dream. And then just on set, it's very easy, and acting-wise, that's all fun and relaxed, and then we, you know, off camera, we eat out a lot. We like to.
You guys hang out?
We hang out. We drink a lot of wine together.
That's
amazing. Yeah, we like that. So that's.
Do you guys practice fighting or anything like that?
We did on the first season. She taught me how to do, like, to make it look good, like just
really?
Sort of, yeah, you just sort of just start going with your
arms. Just move your hands.
Yeah, and it. But
so
it's
I
way
could pick
better
it up if
that.
Like.
If she was here, you could do it in like 10 seconds. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, you'd be better.
Do you have any experience in like the fighting world? Like, have you trained yourself?
When I was I did karate when I was very young.
Okay.
When I was like, you know, 7 to 10.
Oh, really?
I did Shaolin for a bit when I was about 18.
What belt did you make it to?
When I was karate, I think it was like brown with a white stripe or something. Then my brother was a bit older and he left, and then so I just had to leave because he was the older brother. So I was like, great.
Oh.
So I wanted to, you know, get black belt, but
you almost got there.
Yeah.
Thanks, bro. Yeah. Right. It's all your fault. That's cool. And I'd imagine that, you know, working with someone like Michelle, there's like, you learn a lot from her, not to mention just in the fighting, but like as an actor too. Is there anything that stood out to you about her character or just how she portrayed her character?
She's just very calm. She's just so relaxed, and she's just, there's an ease to her, and there's a grace and just to what she does. And
makes you feel calmer.
Yeah.
Imagine,
and then knowing that she could kill you.
Yeah.
Just also there's a danger there. So it's, you know.
She is a little, definitely, you know, Giorgio, that's just like her MO. And it's a whole different character for her too this time around. So I really am curious about Tyler's internal struggle, because it seemed like the start of the season he was very much trying to reconcile his Vok side. And now, you know, working for Section 31, he's a bit more just channeling Tyler a little bit more. So for you as an actor, you know, what's going on in your head and the character's head, you think?
I think the key word I think there is balance. Yeah, we're watching this guy trying to find out who he is. And that's what's interesting, I think, about Ash Tyler. We're trying to see this guy, and it's not just one person. It's he's trying to balance these two personalities, and now they're sort of meshed together.
And they're completely at odds.
It's this whole, yeah, it's this whole new personality. He's got to try and find out who he is from scratch. He's trying to, you know, vertebrae just sort of rebuild who he is. The same thing Colbert's going through. And so that's quite nice, you know, sort of connection there. But he, watching someone do that is, and if it goes slightly off kilter, then it's internal mayhem. Mm-hmm. And that's sort of interesting to watch. You don't need, nothing much needs to happen. You just sort of see this guy and you go, oh, okay. Because we know what's happened from before. It's just nice to see it play out.
And he's like on thin ice a lot of the time. So I'd imagine just like, it's totally a balancing act, like trying to figure out like, okay, who do I bring out more?
Yeah, and to appease those different sides of your personality, the darker side, the memories of Vogue and these kind of things. If you don't appease it, then things can sort of unbalance.
Yeah, and take a turn for the worse. That kind of leads me into my next question, which is the fact that he is these two different personas simultaneously, and so he can't really fit into the human side, he can't really fit in with the Klingons, so you know, how hard is it for him to build trust with the people that he works with on a regular basis, you think, for Tyler?
I think now it's about, because once you break someone's trust, it's always, you know, in real life, it's very hard to gain that back, but I think...
On both sides, yeah, let alone two different cultures.
The main thing is damage limitation for him. I think he's built up such collateral damage hurting people along the way, and I think in life we just try and hurt people less, you know, in this sort of crazy world, we just try and... The less we can do that as we get older, the better. And I think he's just trying to say, look, I don't want to hurt Michael anymore. I don't want to hurt Laurel anymore. I don't want to, you know, I want to do good for as a soldier, these kind of things. He wants to just do it less.
Yeah.
And hopefully, because he spends a lot of time just sitting on his own now in the mess hall.
I know.
And he's just sort of standing in like corners. Just
kind
on
of
his
lonely.
Own. He's quite lonely, you know, he wants to hang out.
Yeah. And I'd imagine too that it's just like a lot of trying to be, you know, have the best intentions and make sure that that's received well from everybody. So, you know, being an outcast and all that, is that something as an actor you're going in and you're like thinking, okay, I need to make sure that people, like I'm trying to earn their trust but not show it too much? Like what's your process with that?
Oh, well, as an actor trying to...
Tread that line.
Well, I think you just sort of play, I mean, this always written like that, you just play those scenes and you just try and...
Bring in the little subtleties.
I mean, he's sort of, I suppose the nature of the filming anyway would be that he's on his own anyway. It sort of matches what you're doing, so it's quite easy to sort of slip into that, I think.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Now, you and Michael have a very tense relationship, to say the least. It's very complex, but it's great seeing you guys' chemistry. You have a wonderful chemistry. but yeah, like, I guess my question is, what does that relationship bring to you and to Tyler, you think? How important is that relationship for him?
I think it's the key thing. It's the thing that can save him. Mm-hmm. I think, you know, like I said, he doesn't want to hurt her anymore. Mm-hmm. And I think that's what's great about the show, what sort of our sort of storyline is, that it's within this epic storyline. They're both soldiers. They've both got stuff to do, you know. Mm-hmm. They're like, they've both got duty, which is above what their sort of their own personal issues. But within this epic storyline, she's got to, like, you know, save all sentient life, mm-hmm. like in that last episode. But there's always time for those intimate moments, those goodbyes, the bits in the room, hugging each other, just that sort of, you need that human touch. That, mm-hmm. That's what this show does well, I think.
Reminding that...
Yeah, that those things are important, and those things are the most important. I need to say goodbye in case you die, you know. That's the very special thing, I think, and they find time for it. Mm-hmm. And they always will, I think, but it's just... As he's broken that trust, it's complicated, and I don't think you can sort of come back from certain things, mm-hmm. especially what they've gone through.
I know. We're definitely going to touch on that in a little bit, but I want to talk about a few episodes back, rather. You and Wilson had a pretty intense fight scene in the mess hall on Discovery. What was it like preparing for that sequence?
Well, with a lot of the fight stuff, because, I mean, Chris McGuire and Hubert Border are the sort of stunt guys, the mm-hmm. trainers, and they're just great dudes, but they make everything very easy for us. I mean, you don't get a lot of time in rehearsal because you can learn quite a lot of stuff in a short amount of time.
So How long did you say?
I say we did for that fight. I didn't really have to do much of that. I was sort of reacting. Wilson mm-hmm. was doing more of the stuff, but mm-hmm. I maybe an hour or half an hour, something like that.
Were you afraid of fighting Wilson? Or
have you seen it? I mean, he's got some muscles, man.
That's what I'm saying. So maybe, I don't know. What was that like? Were you at all anxious or nervous about it?
No, I like the fight. So it's very safe, and it's very, you know, we do stuff well, and I've got, you know, there's some great stunt guys. Mustafa is the guy who looks better than me in you know, body wise. And but yeah, no, it's all good, and it was fun to do, and it's it's sort of a moment we were building up to, because we, you know, since episode 10 of last season, we were building up to that moment, and it was pretty crazy. Yeah,
it turned out amazing. Yeah. I do want to go back to your relationship with Michael. So, where do you think they stand romantically? Like, if we're talking about, you know, everything that's happened to them, everything's trying to pull them apart, one way or the other. So, you know, how do you guys? How's that relationship maybe mending, or where is it at right now?
I think they're always going to have a place in each other's hearts, mm-hmm. you know, but...
Yeah, is there still love there?
I think, yeah, there's a love there, but because that trust has been broken, I think it's hard to come back from. Mm-hmm. But they're always going to...
Having a...
Find time, like that bit in the... you know, there's a bit in the elevator where she just says she knows what he's doing, and mm-hmm. she can't fully... put herself in that position again. She's going through too much. She's got, you know, her mum's come back from the dead. She's going through so many emotional things. I think it's too much for someone to take, anything. Yeah. But he'll always try and protect her now. Mm-hmm. He's sort of more like a guardian now. He'll always try and make sure he doesn't hurt her anymore.
Yeah, and he's also letting her know that there's still, like, an affection there with those little moments between.
But, I mean, if they got drunk together, who knows what might happen.
I like that. speaking of complicated emotions, Tyler has not had an easy go at it. I think that's clear, but he also has to come to terms with the fact that now he's a father, and he has this relationship with Laurel, and the kid's no longer, you know, he's been put somewhere, and you're away from him. So what is the, how does that weigh on your character, Tyler?
I think that's probably
as he goes along.
That's probably the ultimate sacrifice, you know, giving up a child, and, mm-hmm. you know, for good reason, they had to do it. I think when you go through a trauma like that, or any trauma, you sort of end up compartmentalizing a lot of things, and you block stuff out, and that's a way of surviving. Mm-hmm. I think Tyler's had to do that as well as Burnham. You have to put stuff aside because you have to save the planet, or you have to do this.
Yeah, they have a bigger duty at hand.
There's a bigger duty, yeah. So and if you don't compartmentalize that, that will bleed into everything you do. You might just break down, or you might just drop your gun. You don't know what's going on. You start shaking. Those things can happen if you realize, oh, I've just gave away my son. Mm-hmm. You know.
In this episode, you think he's just at the point where he needs to block that part out?
I think he's that's the way of dealing with stuff, right? What's the job right now? Well, how do I get through this moment to moment? And that's the way you would do it, step by step, rather than going, if you look at your whole life and each day and you wake up, then
you're overwhelmed.
Yeah, you're stuck.
Yeah, it makes it difficult to just go through the day to day at that point. Speaking of looks and stuff, and you know, you kind of brushed on it earlier, but you have long hair and a long beard this season.
It started off very long.
Then you had to get rid of the ponytail, right?
Yeah, that was the depressed beard. There was someone saying it was a depression beard.
Did you know that was going to happen this season?
The first season, I arrived with like long hair when we first came to the first ever read through. The first season, I was like, okay. This is, you know, just take this in, because I was like, when I shave and when my hair's short, I look about 9.
So,
and my face looks sort of like melty when I shave. So I was like, this is a better look. And they were like, no, and we ended up shaving that. And then so it's made sense because Ash Tyler's sort of growing up. But I asked to grow my hair and stuff long, because if he's with the Klingons, he's there for 6 months, he hasn't got time to go to the hairdresser. You know,
it's a really good point.
He's, you know, that kind of stuff. He's focusing on. And also the Klingons in peacetime grow their hair. So
it's kind of part of, it's like
he wanted to assimilate.
He
wanted to say, hey, look, I am a Klingon. He was trying to be an ambassador there. And he's saying, look, I am one of you and I don't look like you anymore, but I'll grow my hair.
Yeah.
You know,
it's like, I'll try to be much a part of your culture as
And when
can.
He's back on Starfleet, he does go to the barber because there's probably a barber there.
Right.
Gets a little trim.
Right. Well, it looks great. And there's a huge fan base right
Is
now
there?
That's just loving your look right now this season. So just so you know,
Thank you,
on
guys.
The interwebs,
Thank
it's very
you.
Popular, your new look. But yeah, I do want to talk about, you know, that kind of Star Trek family vibe that you get. Now you're 2 seasons in. What, from your perspective, how has the fan reaction been?
I suppose I sort of realize it when you go to the conventions and you know, San Diego Comic-Con and all the cons. And I mean, I went to one in Germany. That's when I sort of realized there's a huge one there. And it they love it out there. Like, mm-hmm. they love Star Trek. And there's people bringing their babies and, like, letters from their babies and that kind of stuff. And that's when you realize, like, how far this stretches, how far it goes in Italy and Uruguay and Brazil. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's crazy to be part of something like that. I'll probably process it in like 10 years and I'll
be like, oh wow, this is a part of this huge thing.
Yeah, it's hard to do it when you're going through it, I think.
That's true, you're just like focused on the work part.
Yeah.
And, what is one of your favorite memories from interacting with a fan, or something that stood out to you?
There was something very sweet, you know, just in terms of sort of my Asian heritage. I'm from Pakistan, and I was at Miami Airport or something. I think I was going to one of the cons there, and there was this Asian family. This dad brought his son over, and he was like, "Hey, look, that's the guy from Star Trek." And he was like, "See, see," and it was sort of this very positive sort of message. I was like, "That's nice, you know," because not many. You know, we're coming through now, but there aren't many Asian actors around, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're like representing that, world for you.
Yeah, yeah.
That's great. I do want to talk about, in this episode, the big thing that happens, which is Tyler gets stabbed by Leland. Oh, my gosh.
Yep.
But for all we know, he's good. He's on a life pod. Where do you think your boy is at this point?
I think he's just bleeding a lot.
Okay.
He's bleeding on a little pod, just sort of trying to steer it into the. I'd like to see him steer it into the Discovery, but I think he's just in a lot of pain and bleeding and just needs some help.
Maybe in shock a little bit.
A little bit of shock. Yeah. He didn't really know this guy was moving like Flash. He didn't know why this guy's moving
it
so fast.
So aggressively and so powerfully and fast.
Yeah, he was just walking into the room, going like, "Hey, you want a cup of coffee?" And you know.
What was it like shooting that scene?
That was. Yeah, it was pretty hard because you have to. I mean. The floor was very, I remember the chair and everything was very hard. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like, it's not, sometimes the sets aren't very like accommodating to
that kind of set. They're not padded with cushions.
It was quite tough, yeah. And just have to scream.
Any injuries to report? No,
it's good. No, I think it's all right.
You're good.
It's all right.
Okay, so last question. Actually I have one more question before this one. So, you know, we know that Tyler obviously got stabbed by Leland, but that's because Leland is now the embodiment of control. And how do you think Tyler's dealing with that revelation?
I think he's just sort of like, oh, come on, like, I thought this was a good, you know, like, and he doesn't really know how that works. He's just like, oh, he's always stumbling. Deal with this. I thought this was a good organization.
Yeah.
I think he wants to bleed that goodness into that place, but it's just, you know, obviously very hard with
what's
controls there.
Yeah.
I think he was just in shock and just tried to deal with it and that last moment, tried to save everyone and that kind of thing. But
he's always trying to do good at this.
He's trying.
Yeah.
At least I tried, man.
Yeah, you did. I mean, you did a really good job, and you did all you could. I mean, really.
Yeah.
Anything that you can tease for the upcoming episode?
You might be seeing Kenneth Mitchell soon. Kenneth Mitchell. That's what I'm gonna say.
I like this. This is a legitimate teaser.
That's what I'm gonna say.
You're probably like the first person on our show to do that. So thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you so much, Shazad.
Thank
you. It was really great meeting you.
Lovely
and having
to meet
you on the show.
Lovely to meet you.
You guys always love having you guys watching this. Every week we have Ready Room. It's coming up on the end of the season soon. We still have a couple episodes, so stay tuned. We'll be back here every Friday for even more of The Ready Room. This, of course, has been a wonderful time with Shazad Latif. Shout out to him, and I'm Naomi Kyle, but as always, from our universe to yours, live long and prosper.